Morning, friends. So as you know, if you've been here, we've been looking at metaphors and images of God and how do we think and talk about God in ways that's helpful, and we've been examining ways that Scripture uses metaphors to talk about who God is. And I found this quote this week. It's a quote that I've really liked for a long time by Robert Farr Capone talking about image in God, and I thought it'd be a good reminder for our starting today. Whenever you use an image, you will do well to think of yourself as standing in the middle of a plaza, one plaza among the many in the vast city of meaning that is human knowledge. Off this plaza run streets in many directions, and these streets are the several distinct meanings to be found in the image itself. While you stand still in the plaza, you see all the streets at once. But if you decide to use the plaza as a way station to some other place in the city, you have to choose a street, a particular meaning, and follow it. Some of these streets will take you straight to your destination, but others will get you there only by detours, sometimes through the worst parts of town. Others still will turn out to be blind alleys with assassins lurking in dark corners. And when you think by means of images, therefore, when you try to get somewhere in the city of meaning, choose your street carefully. I like that. Choose your street carefully. And this morning, we're looking at the metaphor of God as parent. And let's be really honest. The metaphor of God as parent has some streets that get you there only by detours and take you down dark alleys and also sometimes can get you straight there. It's a complicated metaphor. We don't have a clean and simple picture of parenting. Even if we've had relatively healthy relationships with our parents, we often struggle in our relationships in some way with our parents or with our parenting. And you think about the things that surround parenting, and some of them are great and easy, like celebrating life. There's a new life. We celebrate babies here, right? We celebrate it when life comes in, and we celebrate that life together, that we have together often. But we also think about the pain of losing a child being part of parenting. It's hard. Or doing the hard work of being a parent, from changing diapers to running around with toddlers to keeping up with kids' schedules to helping kids grow into adults. That's hard work. The metaphor of parenting is hard because some of us can't be parents, and something we wish we could be. And there's a strange relationship between parents and kids. Or there's blended families. How does that work? Or we've lost parents. And all of these things factor in to our thinking about God as parent. And it doesn't help that our understanding of what good parenting is has changed over time. I was just reading a book about parenting in, well, it wasn't specifically about parenting, I'm not that nerdy, but about parenting in medieval Europe. It came up. But they were saying in this book that in 13th and 14th century England and France, like, there's nothing written about kids under seven, that moms could, like, get books about how to pluck chickens and how to make gowns and, I don't know, everything else, but nothing about how to parent. There was no parenting magazine in 1350, surprisingly enough. Things about good parenting change over time. So our image of, say, you know, Donna Reed or June Cleaver maybe aren't our images of what a good mom is anymore, but at the time they sort of were. Or a good dad, you know, it used to be a good dad made the money so that the family could, you know, eat and live and have a place to be. And now there's different expectations about what it means to be a good dad. So our ideas about what parenting should be or what parenting should look like keeps changing. There's not simple answers. And a lot of our archetypes or understandings are more idealistic than they are realities. According to a 2017 Gallup poll, 86% of us are in positive relationships with our families. Now, I don't know what the standard was for positive relationship. And that's really a great number, 86%. That's pretty good. But there's 14% of us who aren't. Or maybe I should say it this way. There's 14% of us who will at least admit that we're not. And we also know that not all parent and child relationships are positive. 7 million children a year are reported to Child Protective Services. 37% of American children are reported to Child Protective Services by their 18th birthday. And that's what we know of. So when we use this metaphor of parenting, we have to be careful. We have to be aware. And we have to be aware that other people's experience isn't going to be the same as ours. This isn't an easily everybody sees a different rainbow, right, when we look at rainbows? You know, because it's all different angles, the way the sun is shining through the water and so forth. But everybody sees parenting differently because it's not exactly the same rainbow they're looking at. That makes sense? So I started thinking about biblical parenting. Biblical parenting seminar here, Foundations and Effective Strategies for Parenting. And when you look at examples of good parenting in the Bible, they're maybe a little more few and far between than you'd think. At least they would give us pause sometimes. You think about Rebecca preferring one son over the other, Jacob over Esau, excuse me. And then Jacob doing the same thing with his son Joseph. Abraham is willing to sacrifice Isaac. If there'd been counseling at that point in time, I'm sure Isaac spent some time in it. Saul and Jonathan, David and Absalom, the list goes on. And often we don't hear much about the family lives of, say, the prophets. Can you imagine being Isaiah's kids and coming home after misbehaving in some way and having to have the talk with dad around the dinner table? Ah, sinful children, people laden with iniquity, offspring who do evil, children who deal corruptly. Why do you continue to rebel? That's Isaiah 1, 4 through 5. So when we come to our use of the metaphor or image of God as parent, it's every bit as complicated as our experience with our real parents and the parents we see around us. And here's sort of a sad truth of the experience of life. We can only conjecture about the abstract from the concrete. We can only conjecture about God by what we know relationally with people. That makes sense? So when we come to think about God as our parent, the framework we're going to bring is the framework we have. And that doesn't mean we can't get past that at some point, but we do have to recognize these are the kind of things we're going to begin to think about God when we hear these phrases of parents. So when I was in college, I took a course that wanted to help us examine our images of God, and they said in this course, we'd like you to draw or paint or somehow represent your image of God on paper through art. And so what I drew was this, which turned out to look a lot like noted Old Testament scholar Howard R. Macy. Maybe I showed it to Erin this week in the office. She goes, I don't think that looks like your dad. Well, it was supposed to. And I realized, oh, I need to pay attention to what my image of God is here. Because I know my dad's not God. And there's a lot of things about my dad that I appreciate and love. And I'm glad for him. And yet I recognize there's a lot of things about that image of God that's lacking. And it wouldn't be fair to my dad to expect him to be totally like God. God may be a parent, but parents aren't gods. And I think sometimes the church is so over-focused on parenting and family and this stuff that we get this sort of sense if we're not those things or if we don't do those things right that somehow we've utterly failed in our understanding of God. So when we come to this, I think we have to be careful. How can we live up to the image of God fully? When we start talking about God as a parent, we not only struggle with our own perceptions of parents, but often with the kind of language that's used in Scripture about God as parent, or we assume is used. Is God a wrathful and angry parent, just waiting for us to step out of line? Or paradoxically, is God the kind of parent who loves recklessly and doesn't ever impose consequences? If God can make and set everything right for us as a loving parent, why doesn't God do that? Or when God makes that promise, why does it always seem so far off? But God as parent is both overt and implicit in Scripture. Jesus refers to Abba, Abba Father, intimate, we're the intimate beloved children of an intimate and caring father, our dad, our daddy. He says this in Matthew 6, 7 about this. This is your father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. And then he goes on to express how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. This is a continuity from the image of God as parent in the Old Testament. Isaiah 1, 2, hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I reared children and brought them up. Or Psalm 68, 5 and 6, God is the father of orphans and protector of widows, God in his holy habitation. We also have themes of God as mother, and let me admit that I am not the greatest feminist theologian in the world, so if you're looking for a deeper understanding, trust me that this is just trying to open the door a little for this idea. But the language that's used about God birthing creation and making creation happen is the same language, same exact word that's used for Eve giving birth. That God as birthing and caring and creating is compared to motherhood. It's directly compared in Isaiah 49, which we heard earlier, verse 15. Can a mother forget the infant at her breast or walk away from the baby she bore? But even if mothers forget, I'd never forget you. Never. Or like a mother bear. We hear this one maybe more often. We got the mama bear going on. I'll meet them like a bear who's lost her cubs, God says. Which may not be an altogether comforting image. Or like a mother hen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Or God is the parent of the prodigal son. When we think in metaphors, we have to use the metaphor in the context that it's intended. And it might translate easily to our context, or it might not. And I think we have to take the metaphors of parenting, and particularly God as parent, in the context and understanding that Scripture intends. And so that raises the question, what is the intention of this metaphor in Scripture? I think you see some themes that God's love is deep, protective, abiding, fierce love, intimate guidance and care, that of protector, that of provider. And perhaps the most common theme of God's parental love and presence in Scripture is that of nurturer and protector, the sacrificial provider. And let's be honest that fierce love also wants obedience. Why did you do that thing I told you not to do? God seems to say that a lot through the prophets. Why did you do that thing? And I found this video clip that I thought summed up some of our experience with that. We could watch together here.
As I was saying, hey, oh!
Somebody broke that.
Does that feel like your spiritual life sometimes? Somebody broke that. It was me, but somebody broke that. See, the images of God as a fierce parent aren't just about God standing up for us, but they're sort of God standing up to us. If you think about this mama bear image, the more I thought about this, the more I thought this was interesting that we've twisted this so often. But the mama bear image comes in this context. It was I who established relationship with you in the wilderness, and I looked after you in that parched and weary land. When I fed them, they were satisfied. But when they were satisfied, they filled with pride and then forgot me. So I'll meet them like a bear who's lost her cubs. This is why you're going to be destroyed, Israel. You are against me, against the one who's helping you. That's a little different metaphor than our God is out to protect us like a mama bear, right? Or if we hear the rest of that verse I read for you from Isaiah. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth. The Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. I found another video that I thought maybe sort of visually captured often our experience with God in our rebelling. So let's check this out. Maybe you can relate to that. Being a parent is hard work. And from the video, being a kid is hard work. God expects this faithful response from Israel, this faithful response from us. But God continues to work it out. I mean, maybe I'm placing too much on the mother orangutan here, but I love the sort of persistence and patience. You know, and she never seems to completely lose it with the baby, but keeps on saying, I think we're going to do this. Isaiah 1:18, come on now. Let's walk and talk. Let's work this out, God says to Israel. And God's intent as a parent is to raise us up to live full, whole, joyful lives. Like a parent who understands and intends what's best for their children. God, our parent, tries to keep us away from what is harmful, tries to guide us in ways that will be for our good. And there's a core element of dependence here. From Jesus teaching us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And remember that context. God already knows what you need better than you do. Or from Psalm 131, God, I'm not trying to rule the roost. I don't want to be king of the mountain. I haven't meddled where I have no business or fantasized grandiose plans. I've kept my feet on the ground and I've cultivated a quiet heart. Like a baby content in its mother's arms, my soul is a baby content. I love this quote from Anne Lamott. He said that when he sees little kids sitting in the back seat of cars and those car seats that have steering wheels, with grim expressions of concentration on their faces, clearly convinced that their efforts are causing the car to do whatever it is doing, he thinks of himself and his relationship with God. God who drives along silently, gently amused, in the real driver's seat. So maybe sometimes it's hard to get to the heart of this metaphor in a healthy way, with all of its complexity and intensity in our lives. We are so formed by our parents, by our parenting, and by the depth of hope and love that's so often shattered or at least shaken by the flaws that happen in these relationships, both glaring and subtle. But in the end, this is another metaphor that calls us to deep love and trust. A metaphor that describes being cared for and provided for in the most intimate and foundational ways. It pushes us to see God as the sustainer and creator of our lives and ourselves as vulnerable and in need of that sustenance. As little children who cannot see the big picture but instead have to trust their parent. Remember, Jesus says, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. So as we move into our listening silence, let's hear again the passion and care that accompanies the image of God as parent. Can a mother forget the infant at her breast or walk away from the baby she bore? But even if mothers forget, I'd never forget you. Never. So let's take some time to listen. There'll be some questions up on the screen. If they're helpful, use them. If they're not, don't. And if Christ has a message through you for us today, we ask that you'd stand and a microphone will be brought to you. Let's take some time to listen together.